3 years ago, on this Sunday, it was indeed Vestry Sunday, and I took the opportunity given by Jesus's rebuke of Peter in today's gospel reading to address the idea of Satan, because someone had casually said at Sermon Circle, hey, how about a sermon on Satan? I may have taken a slightly different turn with that one, because of course Satan in the Hebrew idea is not a little person with horns who goes around getting up to wickedness. The Hebrew concept of Satan is the one who keeps us faithful, the one who keeps us on track, the one who aids our discernment, the one who encourages us to stay in the way of faithfulness. Now, I know that at least Penny Holt remembers this, because quite frequently she refers to the fact that I called her and the other wardens my Satans, because they keep us accountable, the people around us who keep us accountable. And the reason I thought it was worth bringing that up, apart from the wry smile that I got through reading through that sermon again, is because that's what we'll be doing this afternoon, being accountable to one another at our vestry meeting. And that means we are all accountable to one another, and we are attempting to continue on this way of faithfulness and compassion and justice. We call it Vestry, the annual meeting of parishioners, and I'll say a little bit more about that. But one of the things I want to celebrate is, particularly in this year of pandemic, the people who've given so much time and love to this community. And people will be sharing with us this afternoon all we could ever want to know, and probably more on top of that, about what's happening around our community. This is our Satan Sunday. Please don't ever tell the bishop I used that phrase. I'm not sure it's probably the best one to recount. We hold ourselves accountable. And as we're all getting used to, this will take place not in the hall after our service, but it will take place on Zoom at 2 p.m. So that gives us all a chance to have some lunch and read the reports. And my apologies that they didn't come out before yesterday, but have a look through the reports and come with a heart for discernment and thinking about where our community is. Hopefully there's not a long enough gap that you can have your lunch and then snooze and forget that it's happening. So 2 p.m. here on Zoom. There is much for us to contemplate, much for us to take stock of in this past year. But I want to get back to the readings. If I could have chosen another gospel reading for this Sunday, I may well have done, but I am committed to following the pattern of readings that we have throughout the years, called the lectionary that we follow over 3 years. But I am very aware that many of us are struggling with this very idea of feeling tested and carrying on through the passage, gospel passage for today. I know that we're feeling that we have been carrying the cross of this pandemic for the last year. You may have noticed that those of us who are preaching through this pandemic, we're quite deliberately stirring away from always trying to rouse us up and ask us what we're doing and to do more, to engage more, and just more. This is not the time to be saying that. In fact, John's perfect sermon last week as our introduction to Lent, with its deeply affirming and appropriate refrain of, "You are my beloved child, in you I am well pleased," is what I think we all need to hear again and again in these days. A timely reminder of our value being located not in what we do, but in who we are, beloved and divinely blessed. So Jesus, talking about carrying your cross day by day, is even less appealing than usual. Even to a barnstorming preacher, that little bit within me who recognizes the value in self-giving, who recognizes the value in self-denial. But instead, I want to move on to the part of the reading from the Romans, letter to the Romans, that is particularly resonant for me at this time, that concept of faith and faithfulness, which is very much related to this idea of the Satan keeping us on track, that Paul holds up as being reckoned as righteousness. Now, I've mentioned before that we have some really odd ideas in the West about what faith is in our post-Enlightenment, post-Reformation, and now apparently post-modern way of thinking. We separate faith and belief, with faith as a kind of emotional or irrational part of being religious or spiritual, and belief as the intellectual exercise of affirming or denying certain doctrines or teachings. For our forebears, for those who wrote our scriptures, those who formed and shared and passed on our faith, there was no distinction between the emotional and the intellectual, no understanding of rational and irrational. There was simply that which you could hold to as trustworthy and valuable, that which you could have faith in, that which was worthy of you being faithful to it. So the concept of faith in God was to see that God was trustworthy, that the divine remained a faithful companion on our journey, that the promises of divine love and divine justice were promises one could live within and rely upon. And a rediscovery of what it means to be people of faith is, I believe, see what I did there? The positive choice we are called to make now. We have done the deconstruction of the stories of faith. We have done challenging doctrine and dogma of previous ages. We have analyzed and dissected and disagreed with and reinvented and redefined for years now. We have rarefied theology and made it often incomprehensible. We have eseritized and embraced contemplation. We have sought to connect the ministry of social justice and social action with the motivation of our spiritual lives and our communities. All these have served us well, and many of these endeavors will continue into our future together. But are we faithful? And can it be counted to us as righteousness? Now, I don't know quite how to define righteousness for us in this context, except to quote Ali, a young Muslim fellow who was part of our community for a little while, a year or two ago. He left a review on our Facebook page that we as a community were doing it righteous in the moment. I like that quote, doing it righteous. The idea that righteousness is the outworking of our being faithful together. Our concept of faith so often seems, to return to the passage today, set on not divine things, but on human things. As human beings, we think as human beings think. But if we are constantly analyzing and coming back, we forget to embrace the wonder of our faith and love. Moving out of the comfortable head-based human zone into the uncomfortable, always grace-based divine place. In our parish, as we try and continue trying to get to grips with what being church is, with seeing God's vision for our future, with doing what God calls us to in this time and place, we continue to seek new vision, new priorities, rooted in our understanding of God's way of being and doing, looking beyond our building, our own congregation, and seeing a bigger picture for ourselves and for the church. Informed by the lessons we're learning through this pandemic and a deep care for one another, we hear again this calling to be faithful and to have faith, faith in each other, faith in the divine, faith in ourselves. As we come to our annual meeting this afternoon, we ask again, what does being faithful mean to us as a community and as individuals within this parish? Do we have the imagination to be meaningfully and deeply connected with one another, the world beyond our community, with God and with our own selves? What are our stumbling blocks, our challenges, our temptations, our hopes? What are our opportunities and possibilities? How may we recommit ourselves to this journey of being centered on Christ in community? How can we look beyond our fears and our worries to new life, a new way of doing things, and the freedom of living faithful lives that it may be reckoned to us as righteousness? Thanks be to God. Amen.